Hello and welcome to One Day You'll Thank Me. I'm Jenny Mortimer and this is the New Zealand Herald's parenting podcast. Each week we'll be unpacking a different issue that affects parents and children in modern day New Zealand with a little insight from our own parenting experiences, as well as exploring a wide range of topics with experts and fellow parents from across Aotearoa. This is all so we can help each other and our listeners get through the tough job of parenting. Also that one day our children might just thank us for our efforts. This week, I am joined by a returning guest of the podcast. If you listen to NZME's radio bulletins, she's someone you're very used to having in your ears, but she's also the mother of two and a grandmother. It is a very warm welcome back to Raylene Ramsey.
Thank you very much, my darling. Lovely to be here as always.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. Now, we last spoke with you last year. Can you update us on the age and stage of your lovely granddaughter?
Oh, my gosh. So Emiliana is now 3.5 and... You know, you forget when you're a mother because you're just too busy as a mother. You forget all the stages they go through, and she's just loud and proud and naughty and smirky, and I love it a bit.
Yes, I feel like three, like they downplay. You hear about the terrible twos and you're like, no, this is fine.
No.
And then three,
yep.
Boom, they're, off yep. they go.
Yeah. And she goes to daycare every yep. day, but, you know, like from 8.30 to 3 o'clock. So it's not a full on, but they get so tired.
Oh, yeah.
But also so energized. And mm-hmm. they've got so many other children to watch. And she is an only child and will be an only child. So she just comes full on, you know, and it's much easier for us to stand back and just go, it's okay. You know, to mum and dad, their mum, her mum and dad, just chill. But, you know, you never learn until you're a grandparent.
Well, fancy you joining us to talk about just that. Now, something that is becoming a lot more prevalent for parents these days is that sandwich generation. You and I have chatted briefly about it before, but for those who haven't heard that term, how would you describe it?
Well, the official kind of definition of it is basically having a parent that is older than 65, and then you've got children who are either university or working. And quite often, as we did see in COVID and even pre-COVID, when I had our children living with us because they were saving to buy a house. So that's kind of the initial definition. But for the likes of me, it's actually either what they call a double sandwich, double decker club sandwich situation, where you've got, you know, a parent in their 90s mm. and I'm in my 60s, and then the grown-ups, my daughters, plus the grandchild. So you've kind of got, you know, four generations. So there are a couple of definitions within mm. that.
So you're kind of looking after everybody at the same time.
Well, yes, because you're there to kind of be a stopgap for the granddaughter, and because this stage of life for our daughters and my son-in-law, you know, this is a really important career mm. transgression. So they're full on. And then I've got my mother, who is 93, and I'm currently in the throes of getting her into her, you know, she referred to it as the final line oh. in her life, but she's, you know, getting yeah. into a rest home. So literally this weekend has been juggling, going through bits and pieces with mum, and can you look after the dog? And could we just have you look after Emiliana for a couple of hours? And you just say yes.
Yeah.
And you do it.
And, you know, something you touched on before with saving for a house, you know, when I was thinking up some of the stuff for today's episode. One thing that kept coming back to me is somebody who is in the generation that's just had a child, who's, you know, asked my own parents for help with care sometimes, mm. is the financial aspect.
Yep.
Like when I had just come back from maternity leave, I couldn't afford to have my son in daycare full time. So yep. I could only have him in a couple days, and then I would have a day from home, and it was literally splitting it around. Like, yes. okay, mum, can you have a day? And it is a sacrifice from everybody, but it's also kind of sadly really necessary these days. Everyone is just trying to help each other survive yes. essentially right now.
Yep.
Do you find that sometimes when you want to maybe say no, you know you can't because there's no one else to pick up the slack if you're not there?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think as you're learning mm. as a mum, that word no is pretty rare.
Yeah.
And they know what's going on in your lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, Amy said to me this weekend, she was like, do you have the capacity to look after Emiliana for a couple of hours?
Yeah.
Knowing
yeah.
what I was going through, but she was also having to work because she's really busy at this time.
Yeah.
And so I said, yes, take her to your father while I was, you know.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, we shared that. So, but it's also really important for the child because mm. they get such an amazing, varied, education, you know, and such a buy-in from all these adults that are giving her so much time and with different sort of viewpoints. And so, at this stage, I can't say no.
Yeah, I feel like my mum feels the same. Like I sent my son up, she lives up north, and I sent my son up there to have his first big like sleepover. Like he stayed 2 days and like it was a pretty big deal. You know, we met halfway and there was a handoff and he's like, bye mum. And I did feel like a bit like, oh, I've taken her weekend away from her. She's not going to get to relax. But at the same time, he comes back having this new perspective on certain things, and there's things that she's taught him that like I'd forgotten from my own childhood, or just a different perspective that almost as a busy parent you forget to relay onto your child. So it is so important for both sides of that relationship. Do you find that having your granddaughter in your life, do you feel like that keeps you young or exhausts you?
Probably a slight, you know, probably a combination of the two, really. Yeah. But it's not about keeping me young as such. It's actually about just being blessed with the chance to actually be a parent again.
Yeah.
And actually give more of your time that you didn't have when you were a parent to your own children. Yeah. So it's there's I have got so much gratitude. And like, you know, yesterday she was busy playing with lots of toys that are my toys that I've just kept at home for her to play with, you know, for when I was a child. And Malcolm and I would just look at each other and just have this knowing smile and this, like, I can't believe that this is happening. It's just a very special feeling, sweet.
That's so lovely. Do you feel like you, however, have any time for you?
Oh, I will. I will, because I know it's coming. Yeah. Once I've got mum in the rest home, she's sorted. It will be a relief for me. I'll have a lot less to do because I'm basically her power of attorney.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking, you know, she's doesn't have great sight. She doesn't have great hearing. So I do a lot for her. And so it will be nice to just go to the rest home and go, mum, let's go out and have brunch.
Yeah.
And it will just take a lot of pressure off me. So I'll have rest after Christmas.
Now, you know, you're only just beginning to kind of navigate what this looks like you've kind of told us about, but have you found any tips or ways of managing things, or are you just learning as you go?
Well, I think it's like anything, you learn as you go, because we've never had grandchildren before. So it's very much staying out of the big decision making and just not trying to get in the way of your children's parenting. And then as far as mum's concerned, I feel I'm getting much better at kind of traversing the being the adult or the grown up in the situation, because, you know, sometimes she can get a bit forgetful and you're trying to help her out and saying to her, well, this is your life. What do you want out of it?
Yeah.
So you're constantly learning. If you're not constantly learning in life, well, what's the point? But it is, you know, we're lucky that we're all in the same town. If we weren't all in the same city, it would be really, really difficult. But it is a constant learning curve. And I mean, really, I just have to be very grateful for having a granddaughter and then having a mother that's still here at 93.
Yeah, amazing. Great genetics you've got to look forward to.
I know. Thank you.
Now, that piece about being out of town, that is something that I have heard people mention several times before. You know, my mum has her own aging parents overseas, and I know that's really difficult. Wow. Do you think that physically moving them closer, which, you know, people so often talk about, do you think that is the answer?
Yes.
Is it easier to physically be there?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mum was down in Hawke's Bay. She lived there for 40-odd years. Mm. My brother, who's here in Auckland as well, he would go down more often than I was able to, because he's retired. You know, I work and have a my children, etc. So it wasn't long after the first lockdown, or it was actually after the second Auckland lockdown of 2020, when all of a sudden we couldn't leave Auckland and she was on her own.
Yeah.
And I think then she was like, okay. And we said, that's it. You need to come up.
Yeah.
So we've been lucky that we've had her here for 3 years. And, you know, we found a place where she's literally minutes away from me by car. And there'd be times when she was, you know, maybe ill that I could bring her to my house, and being able to get her to the hospital, to North Shore Hospital, who are just amazing with her. You know, we've had that several times in the last few months. So it's just, it would be just impossible to be able to do this. And I would urge anyone, if you've got the ability to do it, then yes, get them close to you. Because mum has said this several times to me over the last few weeks when we've been sort of going through her possessions and talking about things. And she was like, I can't think how people on their own would cope with this.
Yeah.
You know, because she is just more frail and less energy, and she needs that help. So yeah, I do feel very, very sorry for people that are on their own.
Now, something, you know, people don't often like to think about is that idea of having to parent your parent and to take care of the person who raised you. What is that like, that change and the shift in roles to now being a carer for your mum?
Well, I think you grieve for the loss of being the child. And I found it difficult kind of navigating to a certain extent. I would try to be the parent and then she would have to turn around and say, Raylene, I'm actually, you know, I've got this, you know.
Yeah.
So in one respect, it's kind of easier that she's on her own, but maybe that's not the case. I'll never know. My father died when I was 20. And so she spent, you know, he was 48, mum was 48. So she spent all of this time without him. So we've only got her left, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's mainly the grief of not being the child anymore. She'll still occasionally admonish me, and that makes me feel good.
Yeah,
because I've still got that relationship there. But I've become more. I really did struggle with having to look after her so much. And that is something, you know, that it would be worth discussing with a health professional at some stage about how to deal with that, because it's a huge physical and mental toll when you're constantly on call and worried about it when you're not there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a tricky one to maneuver. And you know, but then, you know, on the one hand, I think, what would life be like if my father was still alive? So I lost him early in my life. And so at least I get my mum stuck around for a long time.
Yeah, that changing of roles is such an interesting one, because my family are mainly in the States. And I noticed when I brought my son over there for the first time, they've always referred to me and my cousins as the kids, even though we're in our late 20s, early 30s. And all of a sudden, that dynamic of I have a child, I'm not one of the kids, you know, the most recent generation anymore. It does very much like, you know, and even when my mum's father passed away, I was like, my mum is now the oldest generation of her family. And that shift in roles is such a, it's almost daunting to think about. Like, my mum is fiercely independent, you know, she lives by herself. And to even think about, you know, what that next role is going to look like for me and my mum. Do you have any advice for, you know, people in their 30s or 40s who might be moving towards that sort of stage of how they can navigate that change in roles that's upcoming for them?
A lot of it's going to depend on your relationship, I think, with your mother or father. The patience is patience is probably a really important thing. If you've got it, great. If you haven't got it, well,
I haven't got it. So.
Yeah. So that's really good. And the other thing is to kind of, you know, this was something a friend of mine told me who's dealt with this prior to my dealing with it, was like, just be, you know, don't be afraid to say, look, I'm going to help you with that.
Yeah.
And go into that shop and do that for you, or take time to sit down with your new iPhone and Android and go that for, I just can't do it right now. Can we make a time that's going to suit us both? So it's actually making sure that you don't start to feel aggrieved and annoyed, because you want to be that person that's going to help, but you just can't do it on their timetable.
Yeah.
Because mum was always, you know, had all the time in the world, whereas I was jumping from one thing to another. And even though she'd say, oh, darling, I know, are you sure you can do this? You know, I don't want you to be late. And so it was okay to say, I can't do it right now, but I'll do it for you tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your insight on the sandwich generation, and we are just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more from Raylene after this. Welcome back to One Day You'll Thank Me. So, Raylene, putting the sandwich generation struggles to one side, how have you enjoyed being a grandparent?
Oh, there is... it's... Like, as you can tell, it's inexplicable, really. I absolutely adore it. I only adore it 99.9% of the time, because that other percent is when we're trying to get her to brush her teeth and she just becomes incredibly annoying and runs into her bedroom. Oh, well, that's good. I will tell my daughter that. And I, funnily enough, I don't know whether I have purposefully blocked it out, but I do not remember having teeth brushing issues with my children, and either does Malcolm. So maybe we have just preferred to not remember it. But boy, like, there's four adults and 1 3-year-old. You'd think it would be easy.
So my son's 4.5 and we're only just slightly starting to come out of the teeth brushing thing. And I mean, it's existed since he started brushing his teeth. Why is it so difficult?
I don't know. You know, the funny thing is that Amy has resorted at one stage to showing Emiliana, so many girls in my family, just three, showing her pictures of rotten teeth. You know, like the packets on the cigarettes. I mean, I thought that was absolutely terrible.
Is she into bugs? Is she into, like, bugs? Because this is one thing that worked for me.
Okay.
So we pretend that, like, the germs are, like, jumping little things in your mouth. And we, like, make it like a race. I'm like, you got to get them out. Oh, I see one. Oh, get one back there. And that works for him for a period of time.
She's had nightmares about a bug in her room.
Right, okay, don't do the bug thing.
No, we're not going to do the bug thing. We do have different videos, of course, YouTube. What a lifesaver that is. The trouble is she looks at, you know, Bluey and Peppa Pig and all these people, things, animals, cartoon characters doing brush, 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 brush your teeth. But then she has to sing along and dance. So it's totally the opposite of actually getting her to brush her teeth.
Oh. Yes, I have pinned my son down before and just brushed them myself.
Oh, yes. There has been screaming and yelling and bribery. Well, get your father up here. And then she usually does it. She, like last night, an angel.
Yeah.
She did it and it was perfect.
Yeah. No, they'll surprise you. And then one day it won't be an issue anymore, but something else will be.
Stages.
Yeah. Shoes are an issue right now.
Always
in my house.
Stages.
No shoes in my house currently. That's a big no-no for Knox. Now, thinking of some of these challenges, maybe a bit more, well, maybe nothing's more challenging than the teeth, but think of some of the challenges that the modern generation of parent is facing. Do you think that they have it easier or harder than when you were parenting?
Wow. Okay. That's...
Because everything's a competition.
Yeah, of course it is. Oh, yes. Particularly with the mother of my granddaughter. It is a competition. I think, you know, what's hard now is actually with COVID and working from home, because there'll be some days when, you know, Emmy's mum will be there when she comes home from daycare and others where she's not. So that routine changes all the time and she kind of has to get used to that. So that I think has been incredibly challenging. And I don't think that will actually go away for quite some time because even now, you know, Amy decided last week she wasn't going to go into work because so many people were getting COVID.
Yeah.
And the last thing she wants before she, you know, finishes up at Christmas time is to get COVID.
Yeah.
So those sorts of things have changed, I think, as far as parenting is concerned. Everything else, I don't think that there's much change. We still worry about money. The interest rates are all over the place. Can we afford this? No, we can't afford that. Mum, will you go halves with this for my Christmas? You know, all of these things. Nothing of that has actually changed. But aside from COVID, I would just say devices, really.
Mm.
And, you know, that they were always wanting to be sure that she didn't get onto iPads too quickly. Yet for her, because she's got such an active brain, it actually slows her down for a wee while and gives her some just stop time.
Yep.
So those would be the two major issues, I think. The rest is just same old, same old.
Yes. Now, a big talking point these days, the notion that empty nest is no longer a thing and you're in your kid's life from start to finish. What would be your advice to parents who think once the kids turn 18, they're going to get that freedom back and that wonderful life that they imagine after the kids move out?
It definitely is amazing. I know that I was actually a bit wary when everybody was moving out. I sort of thought, am I going to still be compatible with Malcolm? You know, because you spend so many years where you're just working, you're working hard on your career, you're making sure that your children are safe and well and being educated. And the two of you, the reason it all started when you got together is it feels like it was just a forever ago. So that was a big thing. I know, in my mind, I don't know about Malcolm's, but I think what you do, my advice is leave the country. We went away for 6 weeks, which was a long time, but it was just the way that this trip was planned. And honestly, we got on the plane and Malcolm was like, are you going to be okay? Are you worried about leaving your mother? And I said, no. No, I'm not. I just want to get on this plane and I want to fly away and forget everything and everybody. So the main thing, I think, is to actually make those decisions so that you literally have to leave the town or whatever if you want to get away from it all. But it's true. I mean, they did come back, but now they've got their own house. So I keep threatening to go and live with them.
Yeah, great. My parents must have had it easy. I moved out of home because I went to boarding school at 14.
Right.
And then I went and did my OE and then I moved into a flat.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have never done the, you know, go and live off mum and dad as an adult child. I've really missed out.
Yes, you need to start thinking seriously about doing that. No, make sure we put it on your bucket list, darling.
Sell house, move in and mooch. That's going to be my next strategy.
Good luck.
Now, what have you learned from having a grandchild? And is there any wisdom that you're hoping to impart on her one day?
Oh my gosh, that's quite a double-ended question. I've learned that there is just this, you know, infinite love. I learned that with having two children because I was so scared when Alexandra was going to be born, whether I would, you know, if I was doing wrong by Amy. But then you realize that you have this infinite ability to love.
Mm.
And having a grandchild is just, it's, as I said before, an inexplicable love and pride. You know, you're looking at her and you're just thinking, gosh, you know, we were part of this. You know, she has our DNA there. She's taught me to just love life. You know, I just sit there and watch her and absolutely adore it. I only would ever want the best for her, and I just hope that she'll learn to know that she can always come to me and her grandfather whenever and for whatever. You know, we just adore the fact that we can be in her lives as much as her parents want us. You know, we don't turn up at the door unexpectedly every 5 minutes and go, get out of the way, where's my grandchild? But we do that occasionally.
Now, finally, Raylene, we always ask our guests this question, but what is one thing that you hope one day your kids and your granddaughter will thank you for?
Oh, that is a good one. Well, obviously, being loved and seen, you know, and respected. There are so many different things. Humour. The most special times in my life are always with my family, you know. So I think that they are learning that no matter what happens in the world, they come home, they can come to us, they can go to their own home, we can come to them. It's about family.
I love that. I think that's great. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today and good luck with the club sandwich that you are currently working on.
I'm still smiling. Thank you, darling. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of One Day You'll Thank Me. Follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts. For more parenting news, advice and columns, head over to nzherald.co.nz/lifestyle. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, you can at odytm@nzme.co.nz. Thanks to our producer Ethan and to Raylene for joining me. Join me next week to see if I have moved into my mother's spare room. Pack your bags, Knox. See you then.